Every year I hear discussion about Christmas songs and which particular version of whichever song is the best. And of course, most people agree that Bing Crosby's White Christmas is kind of this classic, or we all know Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Carol of the Bells song. But as I was thinking about my favorite versions of Christmas songs this year, I thought, my favorite version of Jingle Bells is the version that my son Asher sings. My favorite performance of the Nutcracker is the one my daughter Leah dances in. My favorite Christmas decorations are the ones that my son Baden looks at with awe and wonder. My favorite wine is the glass I'm going to share with my wife, Lauren, and our family after this by the fire. It is a true thing that the ordinary things in life give birth to the divine. And so it is fitting that the divine appeared to us in the ordinary. There is a place for the best and the brightest. And when people cultivate the gifts that God has given them to the greatest degree, they can open hearts to the beauty and wonder of the Creator God. But there is a reason that it is in the ordinary that we so often find God, because it is in the ordinary where our hearts are more open to receive God. We often think that the world hinges on the words and decisions of the best and the brightest and the most powerful and talented. But everything about the Gospels, starting on Christmas, directs us to look for God in the ordinary. Ordinary sinners and people of faith, ordinary towns and ordinary buildings, ordinary sufferings and ordinary triumphs. And if we open ourselves to those ordinary people and places and experiences, if we let them into our hearts, there Christ may be born. It seems to me that the Christmas story and the stories of Jesus in the Gospel are telling us that if God can be born from a poor girl who has nothing but faith, God can be born through anyone. If God can be found in a manger with farm animals, God can be found anywhere. If God can be seen by poor shepherds, God can be seen by any outcast. If God can be witnessed on a cross, God can be witnessed in any suffering. If God can be heard in the voices of Jesus' disciples, God can speak through anyone. And if God can be experienced at a table with basic bread and wine, God can be experienced at any table. And with that in mind, with the potential, with the possibility of God wherever there is ordinary things, Jesus and Paul and even John of Revelation love the image of pregnancy to describe our world. Pregnancy is, in so many ways, so ordinary, and yet it opens our hearts to God. Pregnancy is so, well, pregnant with the human experience. Hope and pain, joy and struggle, mystery and love. And so Jesus says that the sufferings and the violence of this age are the birth pangs of the new age to come, where God's shalom, his peace, reign. And Paul says that the whole creation groans as in the throes of labor in anticipation of God's promises being fulfilled through his beloved children. And John of Revelation images the story of Mary and Jesus and Herod as a microcosm of the story of the world, the human and divine faith and evil. And of course, it is a pregnancy and birth that initiate God's great work of creating this world anew through Jesus. And so, sisters and brothers, as we open our hearts to the Christmas story, as we're surrounded by little voices, new life all over the place, possibility and potential, as we open our hearts to the Christmas story, may we also open our hearts to the pregnancy of every ordinary person and place and experience with the possibility of hope and peace and joy and love of Christ. May we perceive the ordinary with the eyes of faith, intent on loving the goodness and beauty and truth of Christ out of the womb of suffering and into reality. May we do ordinary things like break bread and tell stories and work and play for the extraordinary purpose of midwifing heaven's birth into this world. And may God allow us to rejoice in the birth of Christ wherever and whenever and among whomever Christ is born and God's love appears.